Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway Life Church. We're so glad that you've joined us and trust that this podcast will be a blessing to you.
It's funny, that throw reminded me of our wedding day when I went to throw the bouquet. I threw it like this, obviously, because all the bridesmaids are there waiting to catch it, and it went straight up and hit the ceiling. It fell straight down, hit me in the head. Oh, it was so funny. So I've never been known for my throwing expertise. But hello, church family. Welcome to everyone here that's back in the house. And everyone that's online, welcome, welcome. And know that even if you're watching at home, in bed or in your lounge room, wherever you are, that is a holy habitation this morning for God's presence. I love that God's presence is everywhere. It's omnipresent. It's wherever we are, wherever we welcome it. You know, sometimes I have the most amazing times in the car with God, or when I'm walking, or in the bedroom, the lights out. Wherever I am, God is, and wherever you are, His presence is. Just welcome Him in. So get ready, grab your coffee now, especially if you're at home. Go to the loo now, take your loo break, and let's begin. Before I really get into my message, I want to just say one thing, give one response to what's happening, what we're seeing happen across the world at the moment. Isn't it interesting to you, it is to me, that when COVID hit, and I don't want to give it too much room because I'm sick of talking about it, sick of hearing about it, but when it came, we were all panicking. Most people were panicking. Give me, give me, give me, shop for yourself. I don't care if you have enough. And then thankfully we progressed out of that, and it was, we're all in this together. You know, we had celebrities on telly telling us that they're holed up in their mansions, but they're in it with us. We're all in it together. We're all equal. And it was lovely because it unified us. We had a common enemy, and it didn't matter if we were black or white or what race we were at all, but we were all united through COVID. But isn't it interesting now that the enemy always seeks to divide, and so suddenly that unity has dissipated, and here we are seeing it on our screens that Black Lives Matter and terrible things happening. And they do matter. But my response is this. And it's found in Paul's words in Galatians 3:23. I always think that as Christians we should have a response from the Word of God. And that's it. Let the Word of God speak for itself. So the response is Galatians 3:28. And it says, this is how God sees the world. There is no Jew, there is no Greek, there is neither slave or free, there is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ and through Christ, with no distinction between us, it says in the Passion Version. See, God doesn't see race or colour or gender, and neither should we. It's mankind who puts labels on things to give them a distinction. For some reason, mankind feels we have to make distinctions and give things labels and categories. The word universe is divided into two parts, and uni means one. And verse is this, writing that has a rhythm and a rhyme. I love that. So uni is one, and verse is writing that has a rhythm and rhyme. And this is how we ought to live. In rhythm together as one in Christ. Mother Teresa was once asked, would she march against the Vietnam War? And her reply was, no, I will not. But if you have a march for peace, then I will join that. We must be careful, church, not to get caught up in the hysteria of what we hate, but rather focus on what we are for. Be advocates and agents of what we are for. Whenever we find ourselves fighting against something, we're using energy, and that energy is negative and it will always drain us. I love the prayer of Saint Francis of Assisi. For so many years I sang this song and I never actually knew that it was a prayer by him. He says, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, and it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. So that's all I'm going to say on that this morning. We are not only to ask for peace, but Jesus calls us to be the peace, to be the love, to be the light. And last Sunday, if you missed it, it was a great message. We had lots of pastors from across our nation addressing us personally as a church, which I don't know if you understand how busy some of these guys are, but it's a great privilege to have them speak into the life of our church and to us as individuals, and for Jason and I as well as pastors. And Pastor Joel said something that's been very much in my mind as well, that before COVID, BC, we found our meaning in the busy of life. We found our meaning in the doing. You know, you'd ask people how you are, I'm busy. What are you up to? I'm busy. And it was almost like a badge of honour to be busy, wasn't it? Like, you'd be embarrassed not to say, you'd almost feel like you had to come up with something if someone said, you know, what have you been doing this week? Like, oh, think quick. I know I've been doing something, but I can't remember what it was. But one of the great things that we have observed and hopefully learnt through this is finding our purpose in the being. Our purpose in the being. You know, we want to be the church. We're finding that already. We can't be the church the way that we used to be. Even we can't all be in the building. But we know that the church isn't a building. We are being the church outside of the walls, and that has so much more meaning now, hopefully, for each of us than it did before. One of the greatest examples of being versus busyness or doing is found in the book of Luke, in Luke 10:38. It's a classic, classic story of Mary and Martha. And when I was younger, when I was like way younger, like a long time ago, I used to read this story and think, oh, it kind of doesn't seem fair. Like, Martha had, there was stuff to do. Like, what's the go? But thankfully, I understand the principle behind this story a little bit more now. And I'm not going to read it today because I've only got 15 minutes. So you read that in your own time. But Jesus exemplifies Mary as having chosen what was better, sitting at his feet, being still and attentively listening to what he was saying. You know, being still and knowing God first is what we are called to do. And then our doing comes out of that, that divine presence, that divine peace, that divine direction that we get from that place. There's a Selah moment for us all. Now, I want to read to you from Philippians. This is our one of the key passages today. Chapter 3, 13 and 14, and I'm entitling it Keys to Leaving Our Past Behind and Erasing Our Past. And there's two scriptures that I've been currently meditating on that are beginning to revolutionize my mind and therefore my life. And I want to share them with you. And this is one of them. And I know we hear it a lot and you're going to go, oh yeah, that scripture. I know that scripture. But hopefully this morning, I'm going to be able to draw something a little bit different out of this scripture. So let me read Philippians. Is it up there? Paul says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. Whoops. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. One thing I do. Whatever that means for you right now about forgetting what lies behind, erasing your past, whether it's to do with changes, to do with COVID. And I must admit, I've had to grieve some changes. I've had to grieve even the way we do church and get my mind around the new way. Or whether it's offences, injustices inflicted on us that we feel were unfair or that we have inflicted on others. Here's a Selah moment for us. Don't forget it's a two-way street in life. People may have offended and hurt you, but you have also offended and hurt others. Whether knowingly or not you have, we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. Regrets, whatever it is. Forgetting what lies behind. Now think for a moment about Paul, the author of that scripture. Think about the reality of that for him. He was a murderer of Christians. He murdered people. Hello, people. He murdered people. This is a man who previously called Saul, God gave him a name change, zealously killed the Christians or anyone who was part of the way, which was the early church. I can only imagine the weight of guilt and shame that he felt when he encountered God and realized all this time he'd been doing the wrong thing. He had to live with the fact that that was who he had been. He had to live with the fact that even when he came to Christ, fellow believers were scared of him and didn't believe. They thought he was covertly pretending to be a Christian to kill more of them. They were afraid of him. He had a reputation. And yet he tells us, this one thing I do, this one thing is necessary for me to move forward. I forget what lies behind. You know, lamenting over past mistakes or injustices, they keep us tied to them. They keep us tied to them. God is still the God, church, of our mistakes. He doesn't go, oh, well, that's that. That's it. You made a mistake. I'm no longer your father. I'm no longer your father. You have no inheritance. Be gone. Think about that for a moment. Think about your own parenting. You saw the love that Daniel and Sharon have for beautiful baby Mia. I love the name, by the way. I contemplated Mia at one point. What parent doesn't want to reach out to their child when they are going through something, when they are stumbling? What parent is like that? You know, God knows that none of his children are perfect. None of us are perfect. God's children are God's children, not because they are perfect. Think about David. He murdered someone. He murdered someone for another woman. Like, that's, we're going like, whoa. When you think about these actual things, Moses took a guy out as well, punched him out, had a fisticuff. Don't mistake your judgment and rejection of yourself as God's rejection of you. That's not true. We are imperfect. God is a perfect Father. His love is perfect. The Bible tells us that nothing can separate us ever from the love of God, not height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. Jonah said, in the belly of the whale, even there you are. Where can I escape from you, God? Where can I escape from the love of God? And I want to put a disclaimer on this as I'm sharing it with you, because this is something that I've struggled with in my own life for so long, so many years, and I haven't got the full revelation, but God is doing something new in me. I'd like you to imagine, I'd like you to imagine that you were standing on the stern of a boat, observing the wake created by the boat as it moves through the water. Now, I didn't know that it was called the wake, but the wake is the trail of any ship or boat that is left behind. It's created by the hull of the vessel as it moves through the water. Now, the wake itself does not have the power to move the boat forward. It is simply the trail that's left behind. It has no power at all to move the boat forward. It's the engine that propels the boat forward, the present energy, if you like, the engine. And as you're standing on the stern of the boat and you're observing the wake, understand the wake is like our life. We can't change the wake. We can't undo what's already been done. It's already been done. You know, people that go, oh, you should have done that or you should have done that. And it's like, well, that's actually not helpful because I've already done it. It would have been better if you told me that before. Or maybe they say you should have listened to me because I tried to tell you. Well, that's still not helpful because I've already done it now. I can't go and undo it. You might be right that you were right, but I can't undo it. I've done it. Embrace the wake. Be grateful for the wake and all that it has taught you and me. Because it's taught you something. It's taught me many things. And I wish there was some other way I could have learnt them, but there wasn't. And there, maybe there isn't for you. Be grateful for the week, for all that it has caused you to observe and learn. If you don't understand that, you need to listen to Shane Latham's testimony last Sunday and Levi. It was so powerful, so powerful. All that guy has come through, but look at who it has made him. And I want to remind you of that, Shane and Levi. Your future is amazing, because from a young boy, what you have endured and grown from is God will use for his glory, both of you. So kiss it goodbye, for nothing is wasted when it's placed in the hands of God. And no one can make you a victim without your consent. There's an old saying, happiness is an inside job. And I heard this funny story. I'm going to just try and remember it. But it would be like you and I, we go to the doctor and we tell him all our symptoms. You know, I got this, I got that, this wrong with me and that wrong with me. And so he goes, whoa, gee, you got a lot of stuff going on. And he's writing madly all these prescriptions. And by the end, there's like five or I don't know. There's a lot of prescriptions there. And he says, okay, right, you can go now. And you go, hang on, are you going to give me those prescriptions? And he said, oh, no, I need to give them to your mother, your father, your uncle, your aunt, your boss. And it's so true, such a poignant story. Happiness is an inside job. We can't keep looking to the externals and to other people and to think, well, it's their fault that I'm this way. It's actually our responsibility before God, because we have that awareness, we have his divine presence within us, to look within and to look to him. It's important to remember that it doesn't matter how long. This is a word for somebody today. I believe it's a prophetic word. And if you're watching online, if you're here, I know that this is for many people. It doesn't matter how long the room has been dark. As soon as you turn the light on, the darkness is gone. The darkness is gone. The second and final scripture that I want to share with you that I spoke about, that there was two, is our word of the week. It's in Acts 17:28. And it says, I love this. In him, I live and move and have my being. Referencing, if you like, the motor, the engine of the boat that propels the boat forward. That presence, I believe, is supposed to be the presence of God that moves us forward as we forget the wake that lies behind. True growth isn't about us trying to be better than other people. We're not trying to, we shouldn't be trying to compare ourselves. I'm better than you. I've done, you know. We're supposed to grow in life and be better than the person that we were yesterday. The person of the wake, and draw closer to God and be more Christ-like. You know, every day as I live and move and have my being, and I make that like a daily confession and a daily belief and something that I want to meditate on, I expect God to lead me by his Holy Spirit, because he says, in him I live and move and have my being. The writer of that scripture says he has a revelation that is connected to this divine God, this heavenly, infinite God, and that in him I live and move and have my being. I expect God every day to show me things. I expect him to convict me. I expect him to direct my steps. I expect him to cause what I need to come my way and for me to collide with it. I expect him to bring people across my path that I am supposed to touch or serve or learn from. I expect that. Those people that you learn from. Yeah, like your parents, people that test you in your life, you know. God gives us friends. I heard this statement. God gives us friends as compensation for our family. If you want to know how spiritual you really are, go and spend a few hours with people that rub you up the wrong way and squeeze what's really inside of you out. and you think, where did that come from? I'm so, you know, when I'm in my bedroom, this is the truth, and I'm listening to all this, you know, stuff, and I'm just like praying, and I think, oh my gosh, I'm so close to God. And then I go pick my mother up to take her on some errands, and I love her. I'm not mocking. I'm talking about myself. And I go, what the heck happened between the bedroom this morning and the car ride? And I go, yeah, you're not so spiritual, Trina. Get off your high horse. Come back down to earth. Unconditional love and grace. Mark Twain says, Leanne, I believe this is a word for you. It's not a scripture, but I reckon you'll get something out of it. And also, Celeste, I felt I wanted to think about this. Mark Twain says, I am not defined by the good opinion of others. I love that. People will have an opinion of who you are or who they think you should be or who they think you are. But you are not defined by that. Just because they have an opinion of who you are doesn't mean it's true. Doesn't mean that's who you are. My mum has an opinion of who she thinks I am at the moment. She'll get over it. It doesn't mean it's true. But, you know, for a minute there I think, ooh, why does it irritate me? Because I think she thinks that's true. And why, you know. But the good opinion of others should not define who we are. I'm closing. I would like to suggest to you that the story of the prodigal son is not only about repentance, forgiveness and salvation. It is about that. But it's not only about that. But rather it's a story of you and I. Yes, you and I who know God. Even while knowing God, we can all become prodigals. Whenever we become distracted by external things and we forget where we came from and we forget where we're going to and we forget all the divine available inheritance and resources and abundance that we have available to us right now, this is when we become a prodigal. The Bible clearly tells us that we are strangers and sojourners and pilgrims on a journey. We're only passing through the earth. The prodigal son demanded the entitlement of his inheritance, and in that sense, he was entitled to it. However, even though he was entitled to his inheritance and was within his rights to demand it, I want it now, God. I want it now, whoever. Did it actually make him any better, or did it actually help him in his journey of life? You read the story, I think not. I wonder if we could reframe our thinking and not think of ourselves as physical beings trying to have this spiritual experience, but rather we're already spiritual beings. God has breathed his spirit into us. We are spiritual beings having an earthly experience and bringing all the blessings and divine attributes from that being divine to everyone we come into contact with daily. I wonder how we would treat others. Would we treat them differently? Would we treat ourselves differently if we believed that we were divine creations and not earthly beings trying to somehow struggle our way through and connect here and there with the divine? It's a bit of a hit and miss, you know. We are called to serve God by serving others, to be his love, his grace, his truth, his light. Every day, leaving the wake behind. In him, we live and move and have our being. Amen. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Gateway Life Church. For more information, please visit gatewaylifechurch.org.au. God bless and have a great day.